Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, her mom.
We're going to be covering Outlander Season 2, Episode 9, Just Sweet Prey, Episode 10, Preston Bonds, I don't know, and Season 2, Episode 11, Vengeance is Mine.
Vengeance is Mine. And the Lord may or may not be saying it. The Lord of Rakshurak may be saying it this time. Who knows? But we are having our usual caveats, although we're back in Scotland, so I don't know if it matters, which include that there will be cursing, because cursing is part of this. That there will be spoilers for Outlander, because that's going to happen. We're watching the show. You should be watching the show, too. And we are having something to drink, and it is something from the Outlander cocktail book. Natalie doesn't seem to like it. I haven't tried it yet.
It's not better than I thought it would be.
So it's called Blood on the Grass. It has 2 ounces of rum, half an ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice. That's what I missed, the simple syrup.
Well, that would explain
that
it.
That would explain it. It calls for bitters and Campari. I didn't do bitters or Campari. I did Aperol instead because that's what we had. But I failed to put the simple syrup in. I'm so terribly sorry. I mean, if you want to go get some, you can. In the meantime, I will extemporaneously speak about Outlander. Because let's face it, Outlander is extemporaneous. No, it isn't. It's actually very laid out, but it seems to be laid out like almost like it's ADHD in some way, because it just jumps around and throws random things in, and sometimes they don't make any sense. This first episode that we're talking about, which is Season 2, Episode 9, Je Suis Prêt, makes you start thinking, hey, does my family need to have words? I think words would be important. Like, let's do this thing. That, I think, would be a good choice. Je Suis Prêt is a little like that. I thought it was like that when I was listening to one of our previous episodes, but apparently it is not. In fact, Je Suis Prêt means I am ready, which I clearly would not.
Let's fucking go.
It's kind of close. I'm ready. Let's go.
But
I clearly was not ready today because I failed to put simple syrup into our drinks. So terribly sorry.
That's fine. This is based on the description. I was like, this should be sweeter.
Yeah, that would be, you know, sensible. But unfortunately, I failed. I did fail. And what can I say? I really should have done better.
It's fine. That deep.
Well, right. It didn't call for a whole lot of simple syrup, so I'm kind of surprised. But it called for very little of anything much more than rum. So,
fair.
Mm.
So we're only doing 3 episodes for this batch because
it was convenient.
Yeah, that, and also just the way this season is 13 episodes.
Yeah.
It doesn't really help us with any even numbers or anything, which is very annoying. So we can just do 3 batches of 4, like normal people. You had to do 2 batches of 4, then a batch of 3, and then a batch of 2.
Well, you know.
Which is really rather annoying.
Or we could have done batches of 4. Hang on. We could have done batches of 4 and then add a 1 at the end, but who wants to do that? So we're not doing that. We are doing this. And we went with Blood on the Grass because the gotcha book mentions this is also kind of true, that there are a lot of battles, especially in this first season, but most of them are in these 3 episodes. And so Blood on the Grass made sense to me for these 3 episodes. And that's why we're doing it this way as a drink, although it would have been better with a little simple sugar. I don't think they have a little simple sugar in the Highlands. So, hey.
It doesn't really matter. We have it now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess let's get into the episodes. We'll start with Season 2, Episode 9, Je Suis Prêt. This episode doesn't have a lot to it.
It doesn't.
It's rather simple. So essentially, Claire and Jamie gather their soldiers and meet with Murtaugh and Fergus and prepare for battle at Perth. And so they reunite with the Mackenzie clan, with Dougal, Angus, Rupert. Willie got himself married and is in the colonies. We eventually go to the colonies, and I do not recall if Willie's there.
I don't either. I think he might be, though.
I don't remember.
You know how this show is. Like, We're just gonna have random people in this. So yeah, let's have random people, I guess. I
But
think he does appear. Oh, actually, by the way, this drink is better with a little bit of Prosecco on it. So hey, everything is better with bubbles. Pointing that out.
we already know.
Which already know. This is a fact. But in any case,
So
what's it?
essentially what this episode is a training montage that is an hour long plus PTSD flashbacks
For
of war
Claire.
for Claire.
Yeah, I mean, it's World War II flashbacks for her. There's a lot of conflict between Jamie and Dougal about who's in charge. Like, Dougal understands that Jamie's in charge of this army because obviously the Mackenzie didn't send an actual group of people. This was kind of Dougal and a couple of guys showed up, they
Well,
broke
because
off.
Colum obviously did the neutrality pact, so it's not like they could do it under any official capacity. So they're kind of fucked.
Yeah,
And
so Dougal
so.
and Jamie kind of go back and forth, and there's a bunch of dick measuring, and Dougal tries to pull this number on Claire, like, hey, you need to talk Jamie into letting me do more because I let you say that you didn't have to marry me, and I didn't tell him about that.
And then she's like, I did tell him
And
to.
he's like, he was okay with it, and she's like, yeah,
She
he
didn't
understood
even
what was
bat
going
an
on.
eye.
Yeah, it didn't bother him at all. And oh, by the way, I don't know how to put this any other way. Not interested.
She literally says, "Go fuck yourself, you're a narcissist." And I'm like,
I'm like,
"Thank you.
amen,
My
sister.
God, he needed to hear that."
He did, but you do kind of, there are things about Dougal that are endearing, and we do see some of them in the series of
It's mostly the
episodes.
actor,
Yeah.
not the
Graham
character.
McTavish really is great.
But anyway, again, there's just it's a lot of training montage that I could not give any shits about. But Claire's aspect of this episode is definitely more interesting
You, I'm sorry, go ahead.
with her PTSD because it's an element of her character we haven't really explored. Because we've seen her like be just competent at war and all the medical stuff that goes with it, but we haven't really seen how that affected her. We never really saw her get a lot of PTSD from that specific era of her life. And so I do find it interesting that this
All of
is
a sudden,
manifesting in
yeah.
a different way now, considering this is the first war she's been in since then, obviously.
Yeah, and gunshots seem to really set her off. Just watching the guys training, she's flashing back to people that she lost, soldiers that she met and didn't really get to know, but she lost over that period of time. The one really big highlight, I'm sure, for Natalie in this episode is that one of our future friends, Lord John Graham.
I almost forgot. So, okay. Well, listen, Lord
John Gray.
Jamie's
Jamie is being, and a guy approaches him from behind.
He's 16, but he tries to kill Jamie, but obviously is not successful because who does he think he is?
Exactly, and this is
And
Jamie.
yeah, and so this little kid is trying to like stop a rebellion by killing a single person. You know that's how that works. You know there aren't any martyrs
Sure.
in a rebellion that make you fight harder. No.
He's not super smart.
No, he's not. He's very naive. And that's a
And
trait that
noble.
lives on.
And noble, because what happens is that Jamie, of course, overpowers him, breaks his arm in
Rather
the process
easily.
rather easily, breaks his arm. They want to get information from him. And so
Like the
Jamie.
information that he, because they're thinking, okay, yeah, you're a fucking British spy. Let's find out, like, first of all, how much you got from us or, like, know about us. And also, let's hear about your statistics. Like,
Yeah,
we need to
who's
know
close
how,
by? How
like, what we're
many?
doing.
Yeah, how many? Where are they? Those kinds of
And
things.
the way they do this is what in
Sort
I
of
will
funny.
just let me just go ahead and say this is probably some of my favorite shit that Jamie and Claire ever do of the amateur theatrics
They do
trying to
this
get.
periodically.
They,
It's very funny.
especially at this part of the season two, they do it
Yes.
all the fucking time, and it
Yeah, it
works
is.
every time. And
I know, it's
it's so
hilarious.
funny. And so
Hilarious.
essentially, Claire, in an effort to like get information, starts like acting like she's a prisoner, and since
And
she's
poor Lord
British,
John is like, he's not a Lord yet. He's
although
just gonna call him
introduces
that.
himself as William, but we all know that later on his name is actually John. I
Yes.
think his middle name is John, and so he goes by John or whatever. Either way, or no, wait. No, this is his brother, isn't it?
Is it William? Oh, well, whatever. Fuck it.
Because from what I remember, it's
So
either John or it's his brother William, and then he's like, oh,
John
he's
owes the
Dave's brother.
debt. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. These people are
Oh.
like super noble. Okay, like
Yeah.
they're
This
abnormally
comes into
noble.
play in season three. Yes, because that makes a lot more sense because Lord John and Jamie are around the same age. Okay, that makes
Yes.
a lot more sense. This is William Grey. This is not Lord John Grey.
Whatever. But the point being that he thinks that Jamie's gonna rape Claire, and he's like, all right, I'll tell you everything, and he does. And
And
then
the funniest part about it is Claire genuinely lands a few hits on Jamie
just for
because,
fun, I
yeah,
think.
and he's like, Jesus Christ, Sassenach, why are you
Yeah, and
doing
then I
that?
might kiss you. Yeah, it's like
And then
whatever.
she's just like, dude, we have to keep up the charade. And it's just very, very funny. I love it so.
It is. But he gives away where the British troops are that they have like 250 infantry, they've got 30 cavalry, they have cannons, he's in however many miles west. And so Jamie and Claire are like, aha, very helpful. They let him go back. They're going to tie him up. He's like, let him lead you to where they are, tie him up like about a mile from wherever the British camp is, and they'll find him eventually. And then they plan a raid. And the raid is going to go, and what Jamie's like, I get to go on a raid, and you don't, to Dougal. And Dougal's all upset. But Jamie and the guys go on a raid, and they take the wheels to the cannons, so that the guys can't roll their cannons, and they will be very upset when they find this out. And he's very excited. He's about to have sex with Claire, but decides, nope, we got to get going. So they got to get going, and that's the end of the episode. We're not gonna have a whole lot to say about this, are we?
No.
Oh, it's a little sad because there's like not sex either.
Yeah.
Dang, it's so disappointing. What were your best parts of this episode?
Fergus. He's very cute. I love
Oh, he
Fergus.
is. He's always wanting to go with Jamie. He's such a tag along. He's very cute.
Exploration of Claire's PTSD. I'm glad they're doing it and not acting like the war didn't affect her at all. Jamie, he's great. Claire and Jamie's amateur theatrics. That's hilarious. I love it so much. And she's just like, you brute. And then Jamie's like, oh, yeah. Oh, I'm going to rape her. Oh,
Yeah.
yes. And then he like puts his hand up her skirt and she's like, oh. It's so
Hits them in the
funny.
kilt.
I genuinely, I think he's actually like copping a
Injured.
feel.
Yeah.
And she's like, dude, not now. And that's what makes her like be like, no, we have to make it look
Reflexively.
like I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's
It's
so
like,
funny.
no, it's so bad. It's very funny. I actually like Jamie. I like Dougal in this a little bit too, because he gets to do some stuff. There's
I
some
don't like
very
Dougal in
stuff
my
things in the training sequences, and he's basically trying to like flex his muscles, but he and the boys, Angus and Rupert, like cover themselves with mud and strip to the waist, and they go and like attack the troops that are
It's
trying to
like
learn how
you're
to.
not ready.
You're not ready, because wow. And so, but Lisa, attack the British like this, and James like, you don't even know what you're dealing with. I do. Stop it. If you're gonna be part of my army, you gotta stop being such an asshole.
I'd also like to say that Lord LJD, but was one of them, but
Since he's an
since he's
LGG, LJG,
what?
LJG.
Lord John Grey.
Yeah, well, I know, but I mean,
Okay.
since he is an LJG,
It's not.
it's
It's
not.
William Grey. And I feel really stupid now because I
William
forgot about that
Grey.
element of it. And I was just like, oh, it's Lord John Grey. And then it wasn't. And I was
It's
so
Wee Willie
annoyed.
Grey. Wee Willie
It's
Grey.
Wee Willie
Although
Grey.
he is kind of fun, because he does say after Jamie says that he's
I
going
owe
home
you
again,
life.
yeah, he's
And
like,
then
I
afterwards, I'm going to
and
kill
after
you.
that words, I'm going to personally kill you. It's like, good luck
Yeah,
with
you
that.
can try.
Yeah.
All right, worst part.
Well, no, I didn't get to
Oh, I'm sorry. I
do
thought
mine.
you finished.
No,
Okay.
I had Jamie, obviously. I think he's great in this. I think Claire is actually, she's a plus and a minus to me.
I don't see her as a minus.
Dude, I see the minus in this. Dougal, I think, is great. Lord John Gray or Wee Willie Grays is really good. Those are my best parts. What were your worst parts?
Pacing. Oh my
There are
God.
serious pacing
Like,
problems.
again, this could have been a montage. Please stop.
Well, I mean, again, it's the flexing the muscles thing, like who is gonna win out in this, who's leading these troops, and Jamie being the younger and the less, Highlander-y.
That's not that I don't care, though. I truly don't. We all know who has the prince's ear, so why is this even an argument? Dougal being weird about the cave agreement. It's like it never came to pass, dude. It doesn't have any bearing on anyone's relationship.
What he says is like, hey, if Jamie dies in battle, you gotta marry me. Like, this is some sort of binding contract forever and ever
Yeah,
and
no,
when.
exactly.
Like,
It's like
no, it really is not.
it's not. Please leave her the fuck alone, you narcissist, please.
Was that everything? Anyone says?
Yes.
So my worst part, actually, I didn't like Claire's flashbacks. And I know, like, I like the idea that she is reacting to this. There are a couple things I don't like about it. One of them being that, unlike Jamie, when she asks Jamie, tell me what happened, let's talk through this, he's asking her and asking her and asking her, and she won't. She
She
won't.
does eventually.
Well, it takes such a long time for her.
Well, it takes for like the big flashback to happen of like her friends dying and whatever.
But I felt like some of those were a little long. It's a pacing issue. Like you could flashback and not have like, lengthy flashbacks. I don't know.
It
It
also
just didn't.
the verbiage that they use in those flashbacks are just so 40s, but
Yes.
it's like a 40s screwball comedy kind of thing. That's
Yes.
what you Yanks have for dinner every night. It's like, what are
What we
you
think?
talking about?
Yes.
Why were
It's.
you talking like that? Stop. Talk like normal people. You can use colloquialisms and stuff, but like that's weird.
It's not Delmonico's steak. I'm sure they went out of their way to check and see if Delmonico was actually a steakhouse back then, and it probably was, but I'm not sure that it was worldwide famous. So,
I
like
don't
that.
care about
I mean,
that,
there are
but
anachronistic things in there, is my point.
sure.
What grade did you give this?
C.
Yeah, I think it really is a C. I gave it a C plus, but
It's
it's really more of a C.
boring.
It's
I
just
don't
not a great
care.
episode.
All right, episode 10, Preston Pens. Preston Palmas? I don't fucking know.
It's Preston Pants. It's in Scotland. It's a
Great.
location in Scotland. Scotland. All right.
So this is going to be an ongoing thing with Prince Charles and his advisors. They're always
Fighting.
disagreeing.
Yes.
One of them wants to press forward through the bog to
Yeah, where they can
attack
all
the
get
British.
stuck. How fucking dumb are you?
While the other is like, I think we should keep our defensive position. Thank you very much. We
Which
have
is
the
the
fucking
high
high
ground.
ground.
Yeah,
I have the high ground, Anakin.
it is. I'm gonna go on a tangent here that is
Great.
100% just military strategy,
Great.
which I know you find boring. That whole having the high ground thing, this is one of those great flaws. I mean, it's not quite the Game of Thrones flaw, but it's like you don't get it, it is like that. Like, don't get pulled into the pincer maneuver. It's like that. Don't give up the high ground when you have the high ground. Don't get pulled into making an attack. And this happened at Battle of Hastings. It happened with Napoleon. I mean, like, this shit happens all the fucking time. And I think the general has a good point. Like, we're on the high ground, make them come to us. Because if we go down in there, we are going to get our asses whipped. There are more of them. They have better guns. They have better training. They have more shit. We don't need to go down there. And of course, the other guy's like, "Oh, they're here. You
But to prove the point,
need to kill them."
they have Dougal go into the bogs, 100 yards into the bogs.
This is great shit.
It's really boring, Mom.
It's really, I think it's great theater, and that's what it's meant to
No,
be.
that's great. But the rest of it, this is like 20 minutes into the episode. That has been nothing but boring strategy that I could not care less about.
All right, fair. I'm fair for this is a girl show, and so
Yeah, where's the girl shit?
we want romance.
This
Where's our
must be for
romance
those
animal shit?
boyfriends who are forced to watch it and be like, "Well, I get sex and you get ideas for how you can make me come." And so now you get your military strategy out of it.
Yeah, maybe. So what happens is that They want to find out if the marshy land will actually hold infantry. And Jamie has this
The
brilliant idea.
answer
It's
is
like,
no.
well, right. But Jamie has this brilliant idea of, hey, Dougal, why don't you go see? Like, don't get within firing range of these guys, but like, ride your horse in there. If it won't hold a horse, it's not going to hold infantry. And maybe we'll just like move on to doing something else. So Dougal like gets on his horse. I absolutely love the way he rides. He rides this way all the time, Graham McTavish. He rides with his right arm like holding himself upright,
Like a regal
like a
portrait.
regal portrait. Exactly. He's got his right arm bent and holding his hip, and he's got his left hand holding the reins, and he's like, I'm riding. But at one point he actually spreads his arms out like, you gotta try and shoot at me. And so he does. He rides up to just, and he's actually within range, because he even said, he's like, yeah, I could do 102 yards. And Jamie's like, 125, 125. And he's like, give or take. So he gets bogged down, his horse does, and he has to get down off the horse and try to pull the horse out of the bog. And in somewhere in this process, I can't remember if it's before or after he's dismounts, he gets shot, his tam gets shot off of his head, and he has an injury. So it's like, yeah, this is not going to work very clearly. And but Bonnie Prince Charlie thinks this is the coolest shit ever, and he thinks Dougal's amazing. So they're
Anyway,
sitting around, and there's a guy that comes,
yeah, they're the Claire, he
Anderson.
comes
Is
to
his name
Claire. Yeah,
Anderson?
I think
Okay.
his name's Anderson. And he talks to Claire and he's like, "Hey, I might have a way around the bog that only I know about, and we can take them by surprise." And so they confirm this and he'll go with them, so at least it's not a complete trap. And so they trust him and they go off to do a sneak attack in the night while Claire gives pep talks and
To the
shit
nurses.
to the
She has a
nurses.
bunch of nurses that she's been training.
Fergus also wanders off with them, which is stupid.
Right, he's been told repeatedly not to, but does anyway.
And so they do battle, and then during the course of the battle, Rupert gets hurt, he gets slashed across the stomach, and Angus gets blown by, like, he gets like the aftershocks, I guess, of a cannon blast.
Right, the cannon blast hits close to him and throws him to the ground, and that reverberation could do a lot of internal damage.
Hint.
Hint.
And
But Angus has to carry Rupert all the way back, and that's part of. I even said this when we were looking at it, like where their field hospital is, you've got to go all the way back around the bog. Like you've got to carry any injured all the way back around to get them treated, which is kind of idiotic, but whatever, it's all they've got, I guess. And we've seen already, like with some of the injured coming in, like people are getting very frustrated by, like, we're bringing them in, they're already dead when they get there because we had to carry them this far. But Angus carries Rupert in. Claire
operates on him.
operates on him, sews him up, and tries to make sure that he doesn't get infected. She asks Angus about, like his eyes look clear. He seems to be okay. Like she thinks maybe it's a concussion. She's like, just don't go to sleep. I don't want you going to sleep. Sit up with him. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be by Rupert the whole time.
He's very sweet.
It was very sweet.
Anyway, so the British prisoners also need treatment, and so they wander in and are like, "Hey, can you help?" And they're like, "Okay."
We failed to note that Bonnie Prince Charlie says something to Jamie to instruct Claire to treat the British prisoners first.
Yeah, that's not fucking happening.
Right. And Jamie's like, don't, no, you need to treat your own men, please. And he's like, well, they're all my subjects. And it's kind of like, you need to understand that people have to fight for you. So getting back to where you were, the British come in as well.
Yeah, and they are going to treat them, but not first. I think that's only fair.
Too.
Anyway, so. Jamie
Jamie
and
got stepped on.
Nerta
Yeah, Jamie
come
got stepped
in.
on. Yeah, they come in. They're excited. They've won. Jamie's been stepped on by a horse.
He's fine.
But Claire's worried about his kidney. She's like, "Oh, yeah, I need for you to pee in this jar for me."
At least it was a
And
nice camaraderie moment between the British soldiers and
the school
Jamie and the
and their
guy.
guys. It's
And
kind
it's
of,
very funny.
yeah.
And then Dougal, meanwhile, is off on a rampage, like double checking that all these soldiers are dead.
He's just stabbing random people, random
Right.
bodies.
And then he comes across the guy who escorted him and Claire to the guy that,
Wentworth. It was
yeah,
Wentworth.
what?
Yeah.
What?
It was Wentworth Prison, isn't it?
No,
No.
it Wentworth. It was Fort William.
Fort William. Whatever.
And so they, that's fine. Great. And, or maybe it wasn't even Fort William, it was a different fort. It doesn't matter. In season one. And they just happened to get this guy back, and so he's dead now. Great.
Well, I mean, he's back and he's injured but not dead. And he's talking to Dougal and he's like, "You're gonna lose," and blah blah blah. And Dougal gets pissed and kills him. Which is
Right. What did you think was going to
not a
happen?
very noble thing to do on Dougal's part,
Yeah, what
but
the hell?
hey.
So Dougal gets mad that the British are being even treated in the hospital, let alone first or second. And so he
So
goes on a rampage, and then buying from Starling, he's like, actually, these are all going to be my subjects one day. So I get this element of like, they're all going to be my subjects one day. I don't want to cause mass loss of life for no reason. And so. Fuck off, Dougal. But then Jamie's like, well, actually, Bonnie Prince Charlie, we can just send him off to do shit you don't want to deal with, and you
like
won't have to see him ever
reconnaissance
again.
and stuff like that. Like, you make him part of the Highlander Dragoons and they go and do stuff. And Dougal understands what this is. It's like, it sounds like an honor, but it is in fact banishment. It's like being on the wire and sent to do Marine Patrol, which will make sense to at least one of our listeners. So yes, go do Marine Patrol. And he's like, "I know what you're doing. This is like uncool." But at the same time, understandable. He's Jamie's defending him. It sounds like he's doing the right thing.
Meanwhile, Angus is not
Oh,
doing well.
this
He
is
has had
bad.
internal bleeding, and so he's coughing up blood. It reached his lungs. He probably had a punctured lung or something.
Right, he has seizures. There's a bunch of stuff that
It's
can
very graphic.
happen.
It's very sad. And he dies,
And
and.
in that, Rupert like hears it and he rises from the bed that he's been like trying to recuperate on and goes over to him. It's just so sad. It's
Yeah.
terribly, terribly bad. And at the end, that's the end of the episode, isn't it?
I
There's
would
the one
also like
little
to say
thing.
there's a little song at the end that's very akin to Drink With Me from Les Miserables, but
Yes.
more about death.
Yeah, it's more like, "Oh, we're all dead. They're dead.
And
We're
we're just
dead."
waiting to be more dead.
Yeah, it's
Yeah.
a weird and very sad way to end the episode, but they do. What were your best parts?
Jamie, I think he just has good points. Murtagh, love Murtagh.
Always.
Claire. Angus. Do I have another one? I guess Dougal doing that thing with the horse.
If I don't say it, I think that Marta should always be a best part of every
I would agree
episode.
with
I mean,
that.
I think it's kind of like Larry always being a bad part there, and or Blackjack Randall always being a bad
Poor
part.
Ethel, she's always a
She
worst part of my heart, even if she's not a part of the
lives
damn
in
show.
that dark space. But
You
yeah,
mean hell?
yes, we
She
can only hope. But yeah,
has a child. We can let her.
Charlie, her child Charlie. Anyway, so not the Bonnie Prince. Just pointing that out because it's fun. But my best part is Rupert and Angus, especially, they've been such a like not Laurel. I mean, it is Laurel and Hardy from my perspective, but you don't even know what that means. So
No.
they are such a pair that you really want them to keep on going and being kind of this brotherhood kind of thing. The fact that we're losing one of them is kind of a fake out. You think you're going to lose Rupert, but we actually lose Angus, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
I love them, and I love that they give him a good ending with Angus. Claire, I love, again, I love it when Claire is competent in medical, and that's what she is in this episode. She does
Yeah.
that all really, really well. Jamie being competent and like Highlandery
Fighting.
and fighting and doing all that. So I like Jamie most of the time anyway. So
That's true.
occasionally he's annoying, but most of the time he's pretty awesome. I love Fergus in this. We didn't talk about Fergus earlier.
Actually, I think Fergus is really fucking stupid for
Well,
going off into battle.
he's stupid, but he's
I love him, but he's so stupid sometimes.
he goes off and chases after Jamie, which is such a thing that boys do. And he ta tells Claire at the end, like, I killed a soldier. I stabbed him, and he's traumatized by it. And I think, again, it might be just that I think this actor's performance is amazing. I think it's so amazing for a young actor to be able to do this and do it well, and he does. So I included him as the best part. What were your worst parts?
Pacing. I just, the first 20 minutes were just so boring. And maybe that's just because I think I've admitted this on the podcast before. I am not a fan of war movies. I do not give a shit. And military strategy is not something that interests me, like, in the slightest. And so when I would let it slide in Game of Thrones because it was very preliminary, basic strategy that I could, me and my tiny little brain can like acknowledge and understand. Actually, no, it's not even difficult. It's more just I don't like care about these guys yelling over each other about which strategy is better. Just choose one. I don't want to watch a whole like 20-minute interlude about how they can't decide on which one to choose. Like, just choose one and get it over with. Especially in a TV show. In real life, obviously, you should think through all your options. But in the TV format, where we have very limited time left in this fucking season, and you're just wasting time, I don't care.
Oh, there is a whole episode of wasting time in here,
Yeah, last
Natalie.
episode, I'm aware of that.
So
And
yeah.
so I'm well aware of that, but I don't care.
I
And
mean,
there's it seeps into next episode and I don't care. Just
okay.
I don't care.
Do you have any other worst parts?
Angus dying, that sucks. I preferred Angus to Rupert, I'm not gonna lie. But I mean, I don't want
Angus
either of
is
them to
basically
die.
dopey. Like, he's the dopey dwarf, Like, kiss me, Claire.
Sure,
That's
but
sweet,
he was
though.
funny.
Yeah.
Fergus going with him is stupid. Like, Fergus, please don't do that.
Interesting. So I think you approach this as a 21st century woman. I don't necessarily.
As opposed to what?
I don't know.
An 18th century one? Like, I don't.
No, I mean, I think that there are elements that you have been brought up in an era that doesn't see these things in the same kinds of ways. And I think that that's part of the media and everything else that you've been fed. And I'm not saying it's bad, I'm just saying it's a reality. I don't find the military strategy boring.
I don't know
I
what it
find
is
a
about.
lot, that we don't need a ton of it, but I don't think it's boring in this.
See, here's the thing. I don't know why I find this so boring compared to like something like Game of Thrones, which would give you about the same amount of military strategy, but for whatever reason, I found that more interesting.
Well, and I think it's because you cared more about the characters.
Yeah, that's probably
And
it,
I think
because
that's,
these characters are all
but
like nameless old men who I don't know and
look,
don't
if
care
you're
about.
doing military strategy with Joffrey, which is by Prince Charlie in this to me, like, is all fucking like pomp and circumstance and no substance.
Sure.
The good thing about Joffrey is that Joffrey knew that he sucked at that shit and never did anything other than, like, I'm gonna stand outside, and basically Tyrion Lannister doing all the work,
Yeah, I think there's a lot to that of like we don't know these generals who they're talking to. I don't care. I
right.
also
So,
don't like Bonnie Prince Charlie, so I don't care.
right. You don't care if he wins. But the problem from my perspective is that is a very major plot point for season one and season two of Outlander, is that this whole thing, this whole rebellion, is a major thing. So the fact that they're talking about it and they're trying to figure out a way to actually win it, that's part of Jamie's point. It's like, all right, we haven't been able to thwart it. Let's see if we can win it. We can change history by actually winning. And so the fact that he is trying to make that happen, I find to be part of, like it's part of the plot to me, so it doesn't bother me as much.
Sure.
It's a little stupid, and of course, the fact that everybody's fighting back and forth, always stupid. I find that annoying.
It's just petulant children. I can't, I have very little patience for that shit.
So my worst parts for this episode, Dougal. And not because of his, riding out in the bog, which I think is pretty freaking awesome, and good theater.
Oh, I agree with Dougal being the
But
worst part.
Dougal, like, stabbing the shit out of somebody who is a potentially surviving victim or surviving injured person that should be treated. And I'm uncool with that. Like, this guy is definitely somebody who could be saved. And Dougal instead does the savage thing that they talk about Highlanders being. He is a savage. The prince, I fucking hate him. I hate him. I don't think that, like this whole thing, it is so demoralizing for these Highlanders, this concept that, oh, I'm going to treat the British first. No, motherfucker. You are supposed to be their prince. You're supposed to be representing them. Even though, yeah, you want to kind of have some sort of appeasement with the British, do that after the fact. They are second to your own men. And he doesn't seem to get that. It is very like it's like reverse job. It's like there's something very wrong with him. And I don't like him as a character anyway. I find him repulsive. So I really am just not okay with that whole mindset. I'm not okay with his weird indecisiveness. He's just awful. And he wants sycophants. He's terrible. I hate him. What grade did you give this episode?
B.
I gave it a B minus.
That's probably be mine.
There are things I liked, obviously, but it's a B minus to me.
Yeah.
So we are on the last of these three episodes. This three-episode trek. We got season two, episode 11. That would be Vengeance is Mine. That
I.
was poor. I tried.
I feel so drained from these last two episodes. At least shit happens in this one. It has more of the things that I like. And I think the reason why I like this episode better than the
Simon
last
Cowell is in
two.
it.
What?
Simon Cowell is in it. The
Oh,
Doctor
this.
Syndrome, yeah.
Oh, well, I like him too. But I think the reason why is that it carries on. Okay. So the weird thing about Outlander is that they essentially
There's only one.
in
There's
this
only one
season, in this
person.
season, is that they spend so much time in France, but then they once they come back to Scotland, they never mention France again. And so what I like about this episode is it brings back some threads from France to wrap those up in a nice little bow, and then you also get some plot development in that sense. So it's I think that's why I like this episode better than the last two, just because the last two were kind of just like meandering towards the same goal. Whereas this one actually wraps things up in a particular way. So, anyway, essentially what happens is the generals are fighting again, and Charlie wants to go and take London, even though he wouldn't be able to hold it or probably even take it. And but they're like, no, we have to retreat to Scotland. And so I wonder who loses this. But like history won't just continue the way it fucking was before. Either way,
Claire's really upset by it because and Jamie too, because and Jamie is like trying to push it. Like he is with the prince, like, yeah, let's keep going. In part because he wants to see if they can change something in the timeline. Like something that Claire have something big happen that Claire didn't predict, and then be like, hey, we're things are going in a different direction,
but
right?
surprise, it doesn't happen.
It doesn't
And
happen.
so the course of history just continues. And so Dougal and Jamie are basically banished to Inverness. And they're like, okay, well, you go stock up on rations up in Inverness. We're going to take care of things down here. And then we're going to start moving north to Scotland
Back to
in due
Edinburgh,
time.
basically.
So they are going back to Scotland, and their camp, when they sit to camp, it gets ambushed by redcoats. And so they're all like on the run.
I
Oh
don't have a
no,
note. It is bad,
And
but yeah.
so then, of course, Rupert, who has become this punching bag for the writers, just gets
Yeah.
shot in the eye. And so, but doesn't die. And so,
They're looking for a place to treat him
yeah.
there.
So they find this church. And so Claire treats him in the church. He's going to have
Eye
a eye
patch.
patch,
Like a pirate.
which comes back later,
Yes, it
surprisingly. And I have a lot of shit to say about when it comes back later.
Anyway, in the interim, like she, because she even mentions, eye patch pirate, and he's like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Yeah,
I don't,
she's
do
like,
you know
okay.
any pirates? Is basically his thing. Like, I know pirates, they don't look like that.
Essentially.
But he's being treated, and they get surrounded by redcoats at the church.
They get surrounded by Evelyn Napier.
Yes.
No,
Downton
literally,
Abbey. No,
no,
absolutely
literally,
do
I
not be Evelyn.
screamed when I saw
No.
him when
I'd
he.
forgotten he was in
I
this.
forgot too. I remembered that there was somebody I recognized. I just didn't remember it was fucking Evelyn
So, for those
Napier.
of you who don't remember Downton Abbey, even
Also,
the guy
Evelyn Napier
who.
is not that big of a character in Downton
Evelyn
Abbey.
Napier is the guy who brought the Turkish gentleman, or whatever he is,
In
the
season one, episode
ambassador, in
three.
season one, episode three. He is a friend of Mary's. He keeps coming back as a potential suitor for Mary, and yet it never seems to work out, despite the
He's
fact
never
that he.
taken seriously as a suitor except in season one.
Yeah, he's such a cutie.
I
And he is again one of these noble people who won't press his advantage. And I think that's part of the problem. Mary wants somebody who's a little more aggressive. But in the.
Passionate.
Yeah, right. And so in this, Evelyn Napier is the guy who's basically like, you've got an English woman in there. And what they don't say is, we have Mary Crawley.
That would have tipped him over the edge.
That would have.
Either way, so essentially what's going on is they're surrounded in this church, and Claire has this amazing idea. It worked once, it'll work again. I literally wrote, it works every time. And okay, so essentially she's
Like preying on British men, and
and they're
I'm
like
they're yeah,
gentlemanliness,
so chivalry. Like,
chivalry.
oh my
Chivalry,
goodness,
that's the
that's the
word.
word we want, which is
Gentlemanliness.
oh, a lady in distress, I must
Literally,
save
it's
her.
just stroking a man's hero complex, and it's hilarious, and it works
But
every time.
it does. It's
And
so I
cute.
love it so much.
And so
So
essentially,
cute.
Claire's just like, help, I'm being held here. And so they're not going to set the whole barn on fire if there's a helpless English woman in there.
The whole
And no,
church. It's
literally,
a
there is a
church, but
line.
still, there's a it's a church.
There's a line that says, bloody hell, they've got an English woman in there. And I wrote, it works every time.
It does work every
And
time. It's
obviously,
hilarious.
Jamie's like against this. Like, he doesn't want her in their hands just in case they find out who she actually is. But she's just like, don't worry about me. It's fine. It's also better. Like, his suggestion was fucking stupid of like, I have a price on my head. Maybe they'll take me. It's like, yeah, of course they'll fucking take you and then kill you. Like, at least I'm a woman who they're probably not going to immediately kill, even if I get found out. So, like, what? What
Yeah.
are you talking about? And
Yeah.
so essentially they go off, and Jamie's like, I'm going after her, obviously. And so him and Murtaugh are going to go after her. So what follows is a series of unfortunate events where she is not going to the place she initially thought she was going to, Hazelmere. She's rather going to Belmont, which happens to be the Duke of Sandringham's estate. And while on the road, she runs into that mute guy who is Jamie's friend, who's the beggar. His name is Hugh Munro.
Yeah.
And so she's like, oh, I'm getting a message to Jamie that I'm going to Belmont. And so that's great. Essentially, half of this episode is getting messages to Hugh and then it amounting to absolutely nothing. And so she tells him that, and he's like, gotcha. And so, but he doesn't say it, obviously. He's
Because
mute,
he's
but.
mute and he's had his tongue cut out, which is bad.
Right, but that's old news.
Right.
Either way, he actually by pirates, from what I remember. Either way,
No,
so
it was in the Middle East in one of the Crusades, not the
oh, I'm
Crusade, but
wrong.
it was in the Middle East.
Either way, so she's the Duke of Sandringham's there, but he doesn't mention that he knows Claire, and so she's just like, why the fuck didn't you say anything? Because that would have gotten me in trouble. And
He
he's
was
just like,
like, I
well,
want you to have Jamie save me too.
because he's still a suspected Jacobite for obvious reasons.
So I want to go with you guys and hang out in some place safe with Jacobites.
Yeah.
And
At least that's what he
I
said.
will say this performance of Simon Callow, and I would say this about any performance by Simon Callow. He does this kind of over the top.
Voice.
It's not. I mean,
I have something to say about the voice.
it can't be over the top voice because he does it in every single performance. So
Yes,
I
but
think
this
it's
voice in
him.
particular has a certain flavor, and you know what it's giving? You're not gonna like this. It's giving Barbie Fairytopia Mermaidia
Interesting.
Fungus Maximus.
And the reason I say
Once you
that is,
hear it, you can't unhear it.
well, fungus, seriously.
Not
But
him as a person.
no, yeah, of course not. The first time I saw it, I know that I saw Simon Callow was in A Room with a View, and
I forgot he was in
he
that.
is the priest or the English curate,
Mine
and
was Phantom of the Opera.
I love him so much as an actor. He does this
He's a
kind of
gem.
over the top aristocratic, a little posh,
He's a character
a
actor.
little effeminate. Yeah, he's so great. I mean, he's so great.
He has his niche and he sticks to it and he's
he
really
does.
good at
He was
it.
in Amadeus. He's fantastic.
Of course he
And
was. Anything with powdered wigs, really.
yeah, really. I mean, but again,
He has a niche and it's powdered wigs.
one of you did not involve powdered wigs. But
Regardless.
you know, the point being that he has this very kind of effete, cultured approach to any character,
Like
and
he's
if
gonna
that's
drink
what
some wine and ruin your life.
it's so fucking great.
I
He's so
love him.
good. And I love that he is convincing in that, oh my gosh, I'm trying to play both sides, but you know I'm really a Jacobite, save me thing. Like he has the ability to convey, like, I'm a damsel in distress too, to Claire, and you can see why she's kind of buying it, especially if she hasn't seen it. Well, yes, plausible, okay.
Maybe he's
And
changing his tune.
then Mary comes in.
Well, Mary Hawkins is also there because, and apparently she's his
I kept
goddaughter.
thinking Mary Hatch, and it's not.
Mary
I
Hatch.
know, like from
Mary Hatch.
oh, we're heading into Christmas. It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, is that her last name?
Yeah,
Hatch?
I think so.
Is that her last name? Mary. All he calls her is Mary. So I
George, Mary, George, Mary,
literally,
Claire, Jacob.
I love It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, it's
I can't
so
wait to
good.
listen to
Our
our Christmas
Christmas stuff. Hey, if you've
episodes.
not listened to our Christmas episodes, we did a whole series on Christmas movies last year. It was the best fucking
Oh,
thing. We
I had
had
so
such a
much
good time.
fun because
Such a
we were
good
to
time.
rewatch those anyway, but then we got to
And
like talk
we're
about
gonna
them.
do it this year too,
Well, we
but we're
always
not
do it.
necessarily gonna record about it.
No.
So please enjoy yourself with those because it's super fucking fun.
So fun. I
Anyway.
actually re-listened to, I think, the Love Actually segment just to like hear our
So
ranking of the
good.
plot lines. It's so fun. Either way, so Mary Hatch. I don't know. Either way,
I'm
Mary
with her.
Hawkins is there and our favorite
Mary Hatch
person.
Bailey. Yep, I am right.
Okay, I did not recall. Either way, so I won't actually, now that I think about it, at the dance, I think he does say that. It doesn't matter. It
My
truly
kid
does
sister
not.
Mary.
She's a blousy
It
joy. Truly does not. And also,
The cutest.
she looks like that, like the fuck.
Oh, so looks like Donna Reed. Holy shit. Anyway,
She is Donna Reed, and she is gorgeous. Anyway, moving on. So, essentially, she runs into Mary, and Mary's there, and she's his goddaughter now,
By the
Franny.
way, Mary Hawkins is not that fucking great.
No.
She's not, and we kind of, I found her very annoying.
She's a
Even in this
pussy.
episode, she
She
grows
has a
some balls in
moment.
this. She
She
does
has a
have balls,
moment.
but
But
she's so long.
most
Most
of her
time.
moments are shit.
Yeah. And
So.
she has a number of shit moments in this episode too. Yes. So Mary shows
And
up.
Mary shows up and she does what she's always doing, getting her into arranged marriages that she doesn't want to be a part of.
She's like, oh my
And
godfather, arranged marriage to dude. filmed by, who is a loyalist of some kind, and she doesn't love him because she loves Alex Randall.
Obviously.
Right.
Anyway, so that's boring. Anyway, so he essentially what the Duke of Sandringham does is have Claire write, and she writes in Gaelic, even though she doesn't know Gaelic that
It's
well.
really obvious. It's so
It's
funny.
so funny. And he's like, Murtagh, when he gets the letter with Jamie, is like, she didn't even spell help right. It's so funny.
I'm sorry. He's such a favorite
Such an
part.
icon.
Oh my God,
I
he's
love
so
him
great.
so.
Love him.
Either way, so they are going, she sends this letter using one of the Duke of Sandringham's men, which we see. I don't need to see that, but
No, but
fine.
he got a speaking part because he's related to someone I'm sure who is in the
I'm sure.
production
And you
group.
know what? Good for you. You really slayed those lines and you really got punched off that.
Yeah, you got hit in the head by
Yeah,
Monroe.
you
Like
really got
he
punched.
delivers the letter to
Monroe.
Monroe, Hugh
And Monroe
Monroe.
gives it to Jamie and Murtagh, and they make fun of her Gaelic, but
Which is
she's
so
but they're gonna
funny.
go save her and they know where she is and who she's with. So
Right.
that's good.
Yes.
So then later on she is approached by the Duke of Sandringham and his servant, and his servant has the birthmark that she saw when she was being attacked and
Right,
when Mary was raped.
it's yes. Hello, we have discovered who the rapist is, and he's in the employ of the Jews.
Of the Duke of Sandringham, yes.
Yes.
And so the Duke of Sandringham explains, oh, well, the Saint I owed stuff to Saint-Germain, Saint-Germain wanted you dead. But I was like, we can settle on rape. And it's like,
Sure, that's
and
okay.
then they ended up raping the wrong person. They raped your goddaughter, bro.
Sad side effect. He just kind
My
of blows it
godmother would
off.
never,
Holy
for a
fudfudge.
million years, let that happen to
Oh
me.
hell no, your aunt Lisa would kill
She would
somebody.
kill someone
Or she'd
before
get
that
ready to kill
happened.
somebody. That shit would happen.
I think you guys would make an amazing duo.
That would be kind of funny. It's just
Nothing
like
like that shit would happen to me at the hands of any godparent of mine. But obviously, I have different godparents to poor
Very
Mary
true.
Hawkins. And
Very
so
true.
essentially, he's just like, all right, and in this most nefarious Maximus tone of like, go take her to her room and lock the door. It's like, well, no shit. And so
Go take
they
her to
lock
her
her in,
room.
but Mary somehow has a key and gets in, or a secret door or something, and gets in. And she's like, why are you getting locked in? And she's like, okay, you need to get this message to this guy, Monroe, who's coming up to the castle.
He's gonna be in the garden. He can't really speak, and he looks
So you
like.
just need to tell him to tell Jamie that this is a trap. And then this is a huge plot point, and it doesn't amount to anything because Jamie still goes in. So it doesn't matter. However,
To negate
like
them because, oh yeah, Jamie,
I don't
that's
understand
such
why this was
a Wentworth thing.
such
They
I
put him to Wentworth prison with like
it was Fort William on that account.
four guys. Okay, they had five guys for Fort
Burgers and
Wentworth prison.
fries.
Yeah, well, and
Anyway.
that's actually something they discuss. It's like, well, there was us and there were 500 Englishmen, and we, got Jamie out. It's like, yeah, it is really absurd the way they're able to pull these things off.
That is true. But regardless, this plot point is so useless. But Mary, nevertheless, is like, I can't talk to a man at night. And she's just, and Claire, who,
Claire's
first
like,
of
oh,
all,
fuck it.
Claire, who knows this background, who knows her trauma, and who would never put her in harm's way, is like, are you serious?
I'm trying to save you.
She's literally just like, hey, you go out this door, I go out this door, and then we're going to meet
Meet
up and
him in
we're
the
going to get
garden.
out of here. And then Mary's like, I can't talk to a man. It's like, what are you talking about?
Anyway, so Claire goes to try to see. She's like, fine, I'll go through the kitchen. She goes through the kitchen, and guess who's there? The Duke of
Of
Sandringham.
course,
Of course he
because
is.
nothing can be easy. And they have this long conversation about how she got Saint-Germain killed. It does not matter. He's just talking about the gossip that
Oh,
went
right. He's
around
got all these
afterwards.
hypotheticals like, did you do this? Did you do this? You could have done this. When did you do this other thing? And she's just sitting there, like, trying to calculate her way out. While they're sitting there, Mary comes in, and Sandringham's like, what the fuck? And
He's
Mary's
even
like,
annoyed by her presence.
Hungry?
And at this stage in the game, Mary finds out that the Duke of Sandringham ordered the rape,
Yes.
and she's pissed, as she should
Right, because
be.
rapist comes in.
Yeah, rapist. Well, no,
Okay.
rapist was
No, she
okay. There are
goes.
two moments where she comes in the kitchen. The first is when she's like, "Oh, I'm just going to get something to eat," and then the second was after she goes to Monroe. She finally grows a pair of fucking balls
She
and
goes
goes
to go
and
out the
talks to a man
door.
at night.
Yeah, she opens the door. She doesn't even get that far. There's a soldier there, and Monroe like knocks the soldier out, and she says, "Tell Jamie it's a trap." She goes to shut the door, and rapist is there.
And he
So,
drags her back to the kitchen. He's like, she was trying to escape, but she's like, I don't want to marry this guy. And then Sandringham's like, I don't fucking care.
then they talk about, oh, this is rapist. And while they're before they even really get that far into that conversation, Jamie comes in,
Course.
and they're talking
But of
behind
course,
him.
rapist like gets a knife to Claire's throat, and of course
As
that
soon as Jamie
throws.
comes in,
But
yeah.
then Murtaugh comes in and throws off everyone's rhythm. And
I love him. Sorry.
I love him too.
Yes.
And so she's in safe. She's safe now, and the guy, the rapist, is on the floor, and he's been knocked out by Jamie.
Yes.
And Jamie is like slowly, like a predator, going up to Duke of Sandra and being like, "Okay, so tell me, what the fuck is going on here?" And of course, he tells him a shit ton of lies that like Claire can easily refute, and he will trust Claire more than him,
Well,
obviously.
and rapist admits that he's rapist. So, like, and yeah, Sandringham made me.
And it's like, well,
And there's
that's not
like,
looking really good,
well, I don't
pal.
know. And there's this whole this mealy mouse Sandringham thing. And basically, Jamie maneuvers Sandringham into Murtaugh's purview, where Murtaugh can handle him. So while
Well,
that's
first,
happening, yes.
Mary grows another pair of balls to match her other pair of balls.
So she's got four.
She's got four. I don't think she grows a big one.
Momentarily, no.
Either way,
Like some of them
she
shrink after.
grabs a knife and she stabs the rapist. Boss ass bitch.
Yes.
And then we have this series of events, which is beautiful to me. Murtaugh has an axe now, and he completely decapitates in several blows the Duke of Sandringham.
It's the best fucking thing. And then he presents the
I
head
lay your vengeance at your feet.
to Claire and to
Because he
Mary.
promised
And
that he
he's
would
really
all he would
mean.
track them down and kill the man who did this to them,
And he's
and he
like,
did.
and he did. And I just love this for
I
Murtaugh.
love
He's the
that
fucking best.
at every angle of this attack, they have gotten vengeance for it. I
Yes.
like that she killed
You
Claire
gotta fuck
technically
him up.
allowed Saint-Germain to be killed. Then obviously Mary got her vengeance and Murtaugh got his vengeance. So the three people who were most affected by that attack got their vengeance, and I love that. I love that they tied that up in a little bow. I gotta say, I love it,
I do. I love it too.
and
And
it's
Mary's like,
beautiful.
we gotta go. And
I
they're all
just,
like,
Claire's
Greta.
looking at this decapitated head and she's like, I think we should leave. It's
Hey,
like,
we're going.
yeah.
Just kill a couple people. It's probably a good time. So they do, and that's the end of the episode. So what were your best parts of this episode?
Claire. I think
Yeah.
Claire is smart. I think she's using her resources well. And I think that she's smart about sending messages to Jamie in certain ways of like, hey, I'm not going to let this note be like read by somebody who can read it. I'm going to go with Gallic, even though I barely know
Yeah.
it. And so she goes with that. She also uses her, she remembers her connect Jamie's connections, even though she met this guy once. And it's like, okay, well, get a message to Jamie, and luckily that works out. And I like her using her resources and her wits and such. Fergus, why did I put
I have
Fergus?
no idea.
I like Fergus,
I
but I
liked
don't
Dougal
know
on this, so
why.
I know why I liked Dougal on this, but go ahead.
Unclear why I said Fergus. Monroe, I think he's awesome, and he pulls a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Jamie, obviously he's going to get his girl, even though, and again, another element of this with Claire, amateur theatrics of like, oh no, oh Fergus, I remember why. Fergus suggests that she fake faints, and
Yes,
that's
that's
really
right. So
smart.
they can't ask her any questions. It's like,
Immediately,
yeah.
even though she immediately comes to, fake comes to, and I was like, girl, that wasn't the
Doesn't mean fake comes too. There are not.
plan. No, but I just, with Jamie as your husband, you don't have to, so that's great. I'm good for you.
You hope.
Either way, Sandringham dying, Murtaugh, love Murtaugh. And Evelyn Napier. I love Evelyn Napier. I don't care if his name isn't Evelyn Napier in the show. I love that he's here. I love that I recognized him. I squealed with delight, and I was so happy to see him. I want to re-listen to our Downton Abbey episodes. Anything involving Evelyn Napier is pretty great, but no, number one in this episode is Murtaugh. He is so fucking great. I love him so much. I love the fact that he's making fun of Claire's Gaelic. I love that he beheads this guy because it is something that you know has been like gnawing at him for all of this time, that he has not done the noble thing, and now he gets to have justice for that. And I think that's fantastic. Absolutely love Murtaugh in this. I love Jamie. I love Claire in this, and I know Claire is sometimes an up and out in this more than Jamie is for me. And I can't explain it other than I sometimes feel like I want to slap the shit out of Claire, like she should be smarter.
I think she's smart in this episode,
She's
though.
very smart in this episode. She and you know, admit she's initially stupid, like she falls for Sandringham a little bit, but she picks up on it very quickly, like,
I think that it's an element that everyone has of like wanting to believe somebody of like, well, you're in this shitty situation, I'm in this shitty situation, we all want to be out of this shitty situation. It's just a matter of how we're all, if we're going to work together to do it, or if you're going to use me. And
And
so
he's going to use her because he's
shit
cheating.
every time. And
I
so it's like,
love that Mary finally grows balls in this episode.
I will give her some
Because
credit there.
she has been so whiny, so
I
weak,
think it's just her
so
voice. I can't stand
and
it.
just like her presence too. Like you see her in juxtaposition to Katrina Balfe, and she's teeny. Like I'm not
Oh,
a
she
big
is
person
tiny.
either. She's very small.
How tall is Katrina?
I don't know. And I keep meaning to check heights and not doing it. I like Dougal in this episode because, much like Fergus, he has good suggestions about how to make this, oh, I'm being held captive thing plausible. He carries her out. He carries Claire out to Evelyn Napier. I love the fact that Evelyn Napier's in
Oh,
this because
she's
he's been,
5'9".
yeah, she's tall. And you're what, 5'7",
I'm
5'8"?
5'7", yeah.
Yeah. But you know, Lauren's 5'9", right? 5'10", 5'9", 5'10", something like that.
She's taller than me, so I'd
Yeah.
say probably 5'9".
Yeah. In any case, that's my niece, Lauren. In case you're listening, Lauren, we love you.
We do.
So yeah, I love Dougal in this. Who were your worst parts? I have
The
one.
general sending them away is stupid. Duke of Sandringham, I hate you. And Mary, kinda, for being a pussy initially.
Yeah, Sandringham, I hate the rapist. I hate
Oh, yes, the rapist.
the
Of
rapist.
course, the rapist.
The guy named rapist. Because
But also,
this
Mary.
Outlander is
I understand Mary's like hesitance at first. Sorry, what did you
unnamed rapist.
say? But I
It's
understand
Outlander.
her
We
hesitation.
have unnamed rapist.
I understand Mary's hesitance at first of like, I don't want to be raped again. However, Claire knows your trauma. She's not going to put you in a situation that will get you into way more trouble than is like ha more able to be handled. Like, you can trust Claire. She will
No.
not send you into danger
She's
willingly.
protected and saved you numerous times. You should have a little more sense than this. And she doesn't because she's like, I mean, she even like was screaming when Alex was near her. So
Well,
she has some
she had
instinct
the
issues.
yeah,
She has
she
instinct
had
problems.
that it was almost
PTSD
like,
response,
well,
yeah.
not just that, but like she also had that hallucinogenic in her system,
That
so
is
she
true.
was
That's
probably
true.
having bad visions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. What grade did you give this episode?
Either B plus
Or an A
or
minus. Yeah, I know.
I
It's
think it could be an A minus
give this an A minus too. I
because
mean, I
it's
think
back
this
to our
one.
Outlander bit bullshit, which I love,
We're here
because.
for Outlander
I'm here
bullshit.
for Outlander bullshit. Like, Claire's in trouble. It's a classic tale. Claire's in trouble, and
There are rapists.
they
Is
work.
that
Everyone has a component, a role to play in this episode, and
One of them being a rapist.
it's not just Jamie playing the hero. Like, Claire does a lot of the heavy lifting from
That's true.
here,
That's
and
true.
she leaves breadcrumbs, and she like willingly goes so that she can save people's lives, and like she makes decisions. She's a decisive heroine in this, and I really like that compared to some of the other more helpless Claire moments of like, you had a choice and you are going to choose it, even with your amateur theatrics. You're going to go with Evelyn Napier and you're going to go the Duke of Sandringham and you are going to figure shit out, and she's going to move the plot forward.
Yeah, and that
Meanwhile, like all this other like I don't know. I like the battle sequences, but I just, for whatever reason, the war stuff isn't calling to me.
I feel like I do understand. I do think that some of it is that it is not that they might not have had the budget to do the war stuff.
Well, that's certainly true.
And that it's something that you notice. Like I'm currently started watching King and Conquer, and you can really tell that the battle sequences are not Game of Thrones level. Like you get so inured to like, this is how this is how battle sequences should be. The amount of money and work that went into those Game of Thrones sequences,
It's wild.
it is, the scale is just amazing. And I love that show so much, in part for that. So I think that it is really hard to replicate something like that. And it sets a standard that is unrealistic. I don't think that Outlander's bad that way, but like when they're talking about, oh, we're gonna move like a couple hundred troops up to Inverness, it's like there are 20 people there at most. When you see them like on the roads, like yeah, they're not hundreds of people here. So you really lose that element of scale, and I think that that's sad. In any case, we have just a couple episodes of season two left. Fun with this, I think. And I think that it is, I think this format's working. We hope it's working for you as our audience.
Two more episodes left.
Two more episodes
And
left
one podcast episode left. And one of them
indeed.
is an hour and a half long.
That you're talking about season two, not talking about the podcast episode, although we can't make promises because we haven't recorded it yet, because we haven't watched yet. So we don't know what the fuck we're doing. We hope that you join us for whatever the fuck we're doing. And
Cheers.
here.